Wow, this is such a nice section here. Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila 1, text 38. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Rupa Gosani Prabhu Pashe Karila Gamana Prabhure De Kite Tanna Utkantita Mana. Rupa Goswami then departed to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he was very eager to see him. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksurun Militamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So greetings from New York City. I've been here for a week, and it's just amazing how many people are just becoming interested in Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees. It was last night we had the 6-hour kirtan, which turned out to be an 8-hour kirtan at the Bhakti Center. All day long, people coming. Just wonderful. It's just wonderful to see. And among the most ecstatic guests were Manu and Abhijit, the sons of Savita and Nanda Dulal, listening to the Sangha. They came and paid obeisances and greeted me so affectionately, and so nice to see them and their enthusiasm for the kirtan. Anyway, it'll take me a little while to get started here, but it's just, wonderful. Programs and the people you're able to see. It's really great. So devotees are headed to Bengal to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami has been delayed because his brother had passed away. And the word for passing away was Ganga Prapti, the shelter of the Ganges. Because the custom for Hindus is if someone's dying, to bring them to the bank of the Ganga, because it's considered to be so auspicious. It's like leaving in in Vrindavan. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tamai vaiti konte ashadatad bhava bhavata. Whatever your bhava is, at the time of death, to that nature you will go. Not so much your thoughts. Your thoughts are going to be disturbed. But your mood, because one's mood is not affected by one's thoughts. If one is madly in love with someone, then they're always thinking of them. But if you have to think of something just with the mind and not the bhava, it'll be very difficult to think of someone. Sometimes to show people the efficacy of bhakti, I give them this meditation. And in this meditation, I take them to India, in their minds, and they're in their old sadhu. And he's a master meditator, and he leads them into a typical Indian little kutir. You know, there's like a wood bed, and there's some things under the bed, and there's a cloth line across the room that they use as like a thing put their cloth. And there's an Elmira and some medicine bottles on top of it, whatever. And then there's, and the master teacher says, I'm going to teach you meditation. They'll lock you in this room for 1 hour, and you're to meditate according to the instructions on the piece of paper that I leave on your bed. And he picks up the paper, the person, you pick up the paper and you read, there's a deadly cobra in the room, don't think about it. So when I do this, you know, the people in this meditation, they start to laugh because they realize they cannot help but think of the cobra because there's an overwhelming emotion of fear. And when you're connected to an object by a bhava, by a mood, an emotion, you're connected to that object regardless of what condition the mind is in, which is why bhakti is so effective. So here, when you're disturbed and the mind is just so uncontrolled, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Pancharantam Adyevame Manasavishadimitlad, when the swan of my mind is entangled in the lotus of your feet, let me die now. Otherwise, at the time of death, when my body is filled up with mucus and bile, how will I remember you? So death really does a job on the mind. And your destination is going to be based on your what you're thinking of. So therefore, it's customary to put person in an environment where they can think of Krishna. That's the custom. Put people in an environment where they can think of Krishna. And the Ganga. You know, and I remember I used to, first 2 years in Vrindavan, I used to, on Prabhupada's order, he said, I want you to go by kirtan every morning to the Jamuna. And every morning I would lead a kirtan to the Jamuna, every day without fail, like a New York City mailman, you know, whether it's rain or shine, the winter, bathing in that ice-cold water, we go a little bit later. But I would bathe in the Jamuna. Instant high elevation of consciousness just by that bath. That's how powerful these holy waters are. Instant high elevation of consciousness. Bathing in the Triveni during the Kumbh Mela in the morning, freezing cold water. Bathing in that water. And the devotion that comes into the heart is just overwhelming. First time I bathed in Radha Kund, I saw my false ego drip down my body and sit in a puddle at my feet. I was just like, well, what's going on? That consciousness of self-centeredness has just been wiped out by a bath. I just had some natural humility in me. I was looking at myself, where did this come from? I'm a New Yorker. And so this taming of the Ganga. Now he's taking care of his family needs. And Rupa Goswami then departs to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very eager to see him. Utkandita. He's full of anxiety. Utkandita means not just anxiety, but a good type of anxiety, anxious. Utkanta, I believe it comes from the word enthusiasm. Kanta means a kunti mala, like neck, and ut means extended. So it has the image of a bird, a little baby bird that's, you know, sticking its neck out to get some worm or, you know, that's Utkanta. Some enthusiasm, which is the foundation of bhakti. Love and enthusiasm. When you have love, you're enthusiastic. When you have love, you're enthusiastic. Anupamera lagitanga kichuvalam haila Oktagana pasha aila lagna paila. There was some delay because of the death of Anupam, and therefore Rupa Goswami went to Bengal to see the devotees there. He could not get in touch with them because they had already left. So he went to Bengal to meet all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all the great devotees. Sangha is just everything. Sangha, connection, open heart, that which you value to be influenced by what you value. Most important thing is sangha, sadhu sangha. Your spiritual life is just based on sadhu sangha. One of the five most important items of devotional service. And sadhu sangha means where you open your heart. And what you get from that experience, we talked about this, it's just almost like a philosophical mantra, something that just struck me that is at the core of how we advance. When I chant in the morning sometimes, first try to think of Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and envision my heart opening to receive in the heart of my desires what those great souls have in terms of their determination and enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. You could not contact them. Udiya deshe shatya bhamapur namagram ekarachi segrame karila vishram. In the province of Orissa, there is a place known as Satya Bhamapur. Shilupa Goswami rested for a night in that village on his way to Jagannath Puri. So this is really, in a very interesting way, this little story is the seed of bhakti that Rupa Goswami realized was the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. And that is the understanding of what Krishna means. And I've discussed this extensively in my sanghas, that the concept of Krishna is the situation or circumstances of God, which are the original and full circumstances of God, where God opens his heart fully unfettered by the responsibility of hiding the intimate aspects of oneself and distancing oneself from those who have the primary relationship with Sat, of Prabhuta Gyan, of God as the creator and all powerful, which is still, it's the foundation of bhakti. Even if you want rag bhakti, the intimate sense of bhakti, even if you want rag bhakti, the intimate sense of bhakti, you need to understand the opulence and power of God. To invoke in one the mood of dasya or servitude, which is the foundation of all relationships. I think in the Narada Bhakti Sutras we were discussing that. I can't remember that now. So it's here at Rupa Goswami, his seva, his service, is to write these beautiful poems of Krishna, to write the dramatry, dramatry, oh my God. That's what happens when you get to sleep at 1 o'clock. Kirtan went on. I didn't get back here till 1 o'clock. I really have to thank here. There's a bed and breakfast right, if you face the Hell's Angels place, which is quite interesting, right next door is this bed and breakfast. I'm staying at a beautifully kept, and the person who runs it is a living saint. His standard of devotional, so firstly, the place is so well organized. You know, he runs this place, and then at the same time, you know, guests coming all the time, he greets them personally, and he, you know, and then at the same time, he runs a food distribution program at Tompkins Square Park. And so confident, and never disturbed. When there's service to someone, it doesn't matter if they wake him up. He goes to the morning program at the Bhakti Center. Like, it's just so nice. He's such a nice person. Never. His heart is always open whenever someone needs something. In a legitimate, in a very, very genuine way. And there's no aspect of his life is about himself. He's just completely surrendered to God, completely. So nice to see. And so I needed a place to stay because I'm in the city for preaching, and it would be so difficult to keep on going out and in. Somehow the place is always booked, but somehow he had a nice place for me to stay. So I kind of feel quite grateful to him. And it's interesting because the Hell's Angels, I guess, a bunch of whatever it is, they had their meeting, all their bikes there, and you can kind of watch from the window what is the consciousness of defending. So Rupa Goswami comes to this place, and this is like very significant. Satyabhamapur. While resting in Satyabhamapur, he dreamed that a Divya Rupa Nari, a celestially beautiful woman, came before him and very mercifully gave him the following order. Amara Amara Nataka Pratik Karaha Rachana Amara Amara Kripate Nataka Hoibe Vilakshana. Write a separate drama about me, she said. By Mary Mercy, it will be extraordinarily beautiful. So that's Satyabhama. So that's Radharani. That's Radharani and Dwarka. So this is really the depth of understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnava. Separate. It's different. There's one God, but according to the environment in which God chooses to situate himself, he manifests in relative degrees of revelation of himself. So there's a difference. It's one God, eternally situated everywhere, eternally situated in all his dhams. But only when he is in Vrindavan is God fully manifest in all the beauty of his personality. Or when God wants to reveal the full beauty of his personality, then the environment that is manifested internally is Vrindavan that facilitates that desire. And Prabhupada's simple example is the high court judge. When he's home and he's on the bench, it's the same person, but they're so different. If his name is Tom, Tom is not the same person when Tom is on the bench as the high court judge. In fact, they don't call him Tom, because Tom is intimate. It refers to the lover. It refers to the friend. It refers to the son. They call him your honor. And when you take that position of your honor, Tom should not be manifest. Tom should be covered. So that's Krishna. Krishna is the intimate revelation of God and the intimate name that corresponds to that revelation. And when he's outside of Vrindavan, it's not exactly Krishna. Of course, Dwarka is still quite a complete and full revelation of divinity. Still quite a full revelation of divinity. That's for sure. But it's less. Full, Swayam Bhagavan. Full is, so this is the contribution, theological contribution of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to the concept of divinity, that God has an inner life. And it's not only a contribution to divinity, the theological contribution, it's a theological contribution to Krishna Bhakti. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. He came to give this. This understanding and the worship in that mood of intimacy. which is much more powerful than love, which is made weakened by obligation, duty, fear, and distance, which are expressions of love in the mood of awe and reverence. It's a flavor, but it's not as powerful and tasty as the Madhurya Ras. Anarpita charim charat purunaya bhatirna kalo samapiyatum unatojvala rasham svabhakti sahim Hari Purita Sundara Anarpita Charim Charat. Never before bestowed Charim Charat for a very long time. Gunaya Bhatirna in this age, Samarpyatam Unatojvala Rasham. This bulgent, sweet, intimate, tasty devotion in relationship to Krishna. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jaya Sri Krishna, Dama Gauri, Nitya Kishori, Sita Majori, Sri Radhe, Rasika Ratilo, Jai Rachabilo, Unagara below Sri Krishna, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Munindra Vindra Vandrate, Viloka Shoka Harani, Vasana Bhakta Panka Jaina Kunja Bhuvilasani, Vajendra Bhanu Nandani, Vajendra Suna Sangate, Sadakarishyasihamamkipasatakshabhajanam Radha Krishna Panamora. I get you at the Yugala Kishora. So then he heard this. Write a separate dream, Prabhupada. After having that dream, Sri Rupa Goswami considered it is the order of Satyabhama that I write a separate drama for her. Vraja Pura Lila Ekatra Koryache Ratana Dui Hage Kori Eva Kanamu Rachana. I brought together in one work all the pastimes performed by Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and in Dwarka. Now I shall have to divide them into two dramas. Why, that those are Lalita Madhava, Dwarka, Vidanta Madhava, Vrindavan. Why in two dramas? So that this point is clear. That Krishna really means Krishna in Vrindavan. Bhavate, Bhavate, Shingra, Hila Nilachale Ashi Uttavila Haridasa Vata Sale. Thus absorbed in thought, he quickly reached Jagannath Puri. When he arrived, he approached the hut of Haridas Thakur. Bhavate, Bhavate. Thinking and thinking, absorbed, absorbed, absorbed in thinking. Thinking and thinking, absorbed, absorbed, absorbed in thinking. So, this is so nice. He's walking and he's thinking and thinking and thinking. Thinking and thinking and thinking. Contemplating. One time about maybe 20 years ago, I went to visit Narayan Maharaj at about, you know, at about 11 o'clock. Sometime when he could see people. And then when I came in, you know, he had been writing in the morning. And he looked at me and he said, "This is very good." I remember, Krishna Anushilanam, that's bhakti, activities that follow Krishna, activities that absorb us in Krishna. Krishna Anushilanam. We're thinking and thinking. We advance by absorption in bhakti. We have the object of our absorption is all attractive. We have a relationship with that object of attraction. That object of attraction can reciprocate with us. And the feelings of that attraction are stimulated by the rag, the melody, and the tal, the rhythm of properly composed music, in which we sing about the glories of the holy name. So absorption. And the spiritual master finds the ways and means to absorb one in Krishna consciousness, according to their proclivities and according to their nature. Because when the extent that you're absorbed in an act or object of devotion is the extent that potency of those objects can influence you by putting devotion in your heart. Therefore, bhakti is a very dynamic process. And as you really, if you meditate and the feelings increase, the meditation increases and the influence increases. And when you have full faith, there's full influence. And then you can attain perfection immediately. Haridas Thakur Tandebaha Kripa Koila Tume Aseba More Prabhuye Tanila. Out of affection, love, and mercy, Haridas Thakur told Sri Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already informed me that you would come here. So, so beautiful. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu probably just told Haridas Thakur, "Why, there's a great Vaishnava from Bengal coming. And he'll, I told him to come see you because he's such an exalted Vaishnava." And these have an association. Birds of a feather flock together. You tend to like to be with people who have similar interests with you. Fact, generally, that's in the Indian system of marriage, the reason why it was arranged, and it was real insistence of the same caste, is because people would have similar interests. People would have similar interests. Then they would check out compatibility. First, they would see the people grew up in the same culture. And therefore, the people speak the same language. They like the same foods. They like the same cultural festivals. It's hard enough to get along without sharing a similar interest, a similar world. Then they would do compatibility. And you know, basically more and more, at least in the Hare Krishna movement, the similar interest is, you know, if people want compatibility, it would be that they're devotees, have interest in Krishna. Of course, devotees also are different types. That's another story. After seeing the Upala Bhoga ceremony at the Jagannath temple, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly come to see Haridas every day. Thus, he suddenly arrived. Now, I'm going to basically, even though I started late, I'm sorry about that again. I got to make sure that I stop in time, because by the kindness of Adi Purush, I've been able to stay here for so long. But I have to check out, you know, soon. But if anybody would like to say hello, that would be nice, or ask a question.
Hi, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Was it Mother? Did I hear Mother and Johnny?
Yes, I just want to say Harry Bo and thank you, Mara.
Oh, Mother and Johnny, you have such a nice, sweet quality of your voice. It's pleasant to hear. You almost have a natural yearning for God.
Oh, the older I get, the deeper it gets.
Oh, okay.
Filling that
thank
means
you.
So nice.
Wow. I so much appreciate that you're on the Sangha listening, because I know this is very important to you to hear about Krishna, and you know, this is going to be, of all my classes over the years, this is going to be the nicest. When we're reading the poetry of Rupa Goswami, I think people will be really, wow. Okay, thank you, Mother Johnny.
Thank you, Mara.
Okay. Gail, you have a question?
Yeah, actually, I just would like to get a better understanding of why you really need to appreciate God's, you know, all-powerful position in order to love him purely. You know, and why it's, you know, has to be foundational to all rasas in order for that love to be genuine and pure and eternal.
Well, I would be this way. At least let's start here, where I think we can have a common understanding. At least in the conditioned state, at least in the conditioned state, our respect is based on opulence. So if we're to enter into more intimate understandings of Krishna, that our mood of service is based on opulence, based on this person is beautiful or strong or what the opulences are. And it invokes a sense of servitude. And all rasas are based on servitude. And in the conditioned state, we don't have access to that intimacy in a way that we can appreciate the person's inner beauty, which is their relationship with us. So it has to begin with that sense. So that's at least foundational. The other point on whether or not it's foundational to, you know, the gopis, you know, we discussed that in Narada Bhakti Sutras. And it's, you know, it's almost, I don't even remember what our conclusion was, because we were trying to figure out that verse. It was a verse in Narada Bhakti Sutras that we're trying to figure out. One of the ways in which it was understood, was that it was required for some reason. And I don't remember the reason, very frankly, and I wasn't completely convinced of it either. So hopefully I can go back to that text and maybe discuss it again later in relationship to this. I hope I remember that.
Yeah,
you know,
I really wanted to get to the bottom of that.
Because we had, like, a real deep discussion of that. I'm actually going to kind of put the note in. Yeah. It's deep.
And yeah, I think it's fascinating, actually.
Mm-hmm. It is. We had a long discussion on it. I forgot what the conclusion was. I was just thinking about that. And also, I don't know sure how deeply I can activate my mind right now. I'm giving one of those classes, Gail, right, where I'm laying on my back. Because we, you know, sometimes I'm amazed myself because sometimes I'm sleeping during the class and still talking, and then I kind of wake up and just try to find out what I said. But... not exactly, but almost. Because I just, you know, usually I'm so full of energy.
Mm.
But really, it was like, it's like been wonderful. I mean, but it wonderful means practically every night, you know, up really late. And it's kind of the kind of life that I don't really, like, make my constitutional life. It's like an exception. But there was just so many people to meet and such wonderful people. Quality people that are becoming more and more interested in Krishna consciousness. So, yeah. Okay.
Well,
anyway, anybody
thank
else
you for this
want
much
to say? Okay, Gail. Thank you.
Marge, thanks so much for your class today.
Mooney,
thanks.
Let's go. Any questions?
Well, I guess I really just wanted to thank you for the way in which you discussed the nature of bhava earlier in the class, because I guess personally it's been striking me more when I reflect on the times in my life when I felt like I was in the right place spiritually. It's because I've had the bhava. The bhava's been there. And when the bhava's there, all the other problems don't seem so important, you know? Like, if the bhava's there... there could be all sorts of problems with your religious institution, but you figure, well, look, you know, Krishna's here now. I'll be okay, you know.
I'm getting something.
But when the bhava's not there, you just have a kind of list of beliefs you're supposed to hold on to, and they're very dead. And so it just strikes me more and more when I think about what I need to do personally, spiritually, is find a way to stir that bhava when I can, you know. And looking back, if you don't mind, Marge, this was just in my mind. Do you mind if I put this forth and just see what you think about it?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
As I was thinking, this is what I was thinking during the beginning of your class, and then it struck me that, you know, Rupa Goswami defines sadhana as a way to trigger bhava through sense experience.
Interesting.
And so it just made me appreciate why sadhana is like. You know, there's a way to get into a routine. It's kind of like you were talking about frozen formulas and stuff like that the last couple of weeks. It seems to me that religious practices can become frozen if you don't do them in the spirit of cultivating bhava. So anyway, this is just stuff that I wanted to thank you for kind of
stirring
in me.
Well, I'm going to tell you something interesting, and Gail and maybe even Nanda Dual and people who have been in Tuaco would find this interesting. You know, I gave class on Narada Bhakti Sutras, right? In Yoga Maya. Incredible. It's just incredible. I mean, you know, 25, sometimes 40 people paying for classes and then just absorbed in chanting at a very deep level. And who comes to the class? But my old assistant, James, right?
Wow.
Who joined into Waco, right? And he's such a substantial person, you know? He's constitutionally, like, so controlled, you know, and reasonable, you know? And then, you know, it's kind of like we're so close because we spent those years together, and he remembers the experience of the Bhagavatam, you know, beyond just the intellectual thing, because I would do it every day with him for like an hour and a half. I took the Bhagavatam on tape, right? So what happened you know, we said we'd get together. So on yesterday, I went to his office. He has a beautiful office, you know, like a really beautiful place, you know. And he's a Chinese doctor, you know, and he's super good at it. He checked me out. But mainly we took a walk in the park and we just discussed, you know. And, you know, he reads Shastra every morning, every evening, you know. He's a very big person, but the thing we discuss mostly is spiritual life, meaning an experience, you know, not just an intellectual understanding. And, you know, and more having the experience guides the understanding. And I have his phone number and email. He would love to hear from you, you know.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you'd like him, you know. He's also just had a child, you know.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so he's such a great guy, you know. He's just so even keeled. He's not an ordinary soul at all, you know. He's so interested spiritually. But the other point I was thinking too, in terms of this you know, experience guiding your spiritual life, what rasa means is an overwhelming experience. That's what it means, you know. And you know, bhakti rasa means that overwhelming experience. So I really think, and he was talking about it, you know, because he had his own experience in spiritual life and Vaishnavism, that, you know, he had to spend those 5 years assimilating after his guru left, you know, and going through all the traumas of trying to piece it all together, of the tradition and how it's rejected and the sectarianism that it enters in and the divisiveness and the polemics and the, you know. And, he's just a super nice person, and it was great to see him there at the class. Anyway, okay, anything else?
Marsh, I would enjoy thinking about this topic with you more in the future, because it seems so important.
Okay, yeah.
That's for a longer discussion.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. Okay.
Thanks so much for
doing
the class,
else,
even though you're tired.
Great, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you for class this morning.
Amiyat, and thank you for hosting me. Well, Amiyat, Amiyat's house, we are meeting guests all week. You know, all week we are just meeting different people. It was great.
Wonderful. Yeah. Great.
And Nanda Dulal.
Yes, Maharaj.
So nice to see your sons. Hey, Mahamuni, you know, Manu is like a muscular guy now. He's in the Navy, believe it or not.
Yes.
Some very, very top secret something he does.
Maharaj, every time I see those Tawako Sunday school kids, I wonder how it is that they were once little and I was big. But Nanda Dulal's, they take the cake. I mean, seriously, they're like, it's like standing next to Bhima.
Well, Manu used to be such a skinny kid, you know? Now he's like a muscular guy. But they're so nice. They're so nice, you know? They're, you know, each begging me to visit them. And, nice.
Yeah, Maharaj, you know,
So I'm still waiting for your confirmation.
Okay. I just need to sit down one day. I think tomorrow I'm a free day. I'm going to do all these type of things, you know?
Okay.
I got your phone. I'll call you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Henry, Hare Krishna. I'm going to also, I have a few opportunities to go to Washington. I want to see if I can coordinate it to you. There's a, anyway, Rukmini invited
you
to the program.
Maharaj, you can bring in a Henry Prabhu also.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. But we'll have to coordinate all this. Okay. Thank you, Henry. I'm going to get in touch with you this week, too.
Thank you, Maharaj. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. It's okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Vansikopa Subya Shaka Prasindu Bhavichapa Kitanam Bhavati Dyu.